I'm glad you're all here, wherever you are. It just keeps getting crazier all the time. And I don't have anything optimistic to share. I wish I did, and Erica feels the same way. We're going to repeat what we've said from the beginning about whatever topic you want. We don't change. If something changes, we'll be first to report it. This whole graphene oxide thing, if you look up simply, is graphene oxide magnetic? The answer is no, it's not. It can be made to be magnetic, but inherently graphene oxide is not magnetic. When you see those demonstrations where someone has a magnet and they're allegedly pulling graphene oxide over to the side of a little beaker or whatever it happens to be in, there's iron in there with it. It's kind of married up with iron. Otherwise, graphene oxide is just, it's just not. It's crazy. So we don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but for those of you out there who believe in the graphene oxide ruse, more power to you. It's fine. We have a Second Amendment. We have a freedom to believe. Go ahead. All we can do is present the way we see it, and if you want to do some real serious research, even modest research, you're going to find out that basically what we put on the table is correct. Simple. It's no big mystery here. Are you there, partner?
I'm here.
Well, you showed up. Good girl. That's nice. That's nice. Like I say, I don't want to get into this whole thing too much, but people just don't want to give up all the pop and sizzle of the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey traveling circus of frauds, fakes, and con artists. And there are so many of them out there. The alt-news media is now, in all likelihood, more dangerous than the mainstream media. At least you know what you're going to get with the MSM. You don't. Sky's the limit in the alt-news world. Believe it. Here are a few things on graphene oxide, just for you. These are right out of the science literature, posted online. All right? Let me find number one here. Okay. Is graphene magnetic or non-magnetic? Although the magnetic properties do not naturally exist in graphene, it is valuable in spintronics. Recently, the magnetic property is created in graphene by manipulating electronic systems. It is not naturally magnetic. Can a magnet attract graphene? Science. Graphene is intrinsically non-magnetic. Did you hear that? It's not magnetic. As all the outer electrons in carbon hexatomic rings are perfectly paired to take shape in zero and TT bonds. All the efforts to make graphene magnetic are carried out to break these symmetric bonds to release the unpaired electrons and generate net spins. Is graphene magnetic in the body? Graphene, one of the world's strongest materials, is not normally magnetic. Is graphene oxide considered a metal? No, graphene is not metallic, because graphene is a form of non-metal. Graphene is a monolayer of carbon atoms bounded within a hexagonal lattice structure. However, graphene is regarded as a quasi-metal since its characteristics of graphene are similar to those of semiconducting metals. Okay? There are ways to make graphene and other things magnetic. That's not an issue. But inherently, innate, graphene is not magnetic.
Well, I would add that it's easy enough to demonstrate that. Go buy some graphene or graphene oxide and put a magnet to it.
That's very simple.
You know what? These black piles of powder and fluids,
right,
that people are making videos with and claiming it's graphene is ferrofluids.
Iron.
It's iron. Formal iron. And insofar as the bodies of people becoming magnetic, you can go back 20 or 30 years and find videos of people sticking
spoons.
And
it's true.
It's old. It's that, true. That concept and that phenomenon is not new.
If you want to make graphene magnetic, you have to, what they call, they have to use a doping process.
Correct.
You have to use magnetic impurities and dope the graphene with it. You got to spike the graphene. So what you're seeing, if it actually is graphene, is fraud because it's not innate graphene. It's spiked. It's been doped. So, you know,
And let's get back to what is magnetism. Most people can't even define what is magnetism.
It remains
essentially unpaired electrons.
That's right.
And you have a paramagnetic in abundance in your body, which is oxygen. 65% of your body is oxygen. Did you know that?
And 75%
paramagnetic.
Is water.
Well, and there's hydrogen. You're about 9.5% hydrogen. You're about 18% carbon. 3.5% nitrogen, and the rest is other things.
And 95% unused brain power. Let's not forget that.
Yeah. Yep.
So just keep in mind that we're never going to mislead anybody about anything. And if you have any doubts about what I just said, do some research. It's there. Just a simple search.
Yeah, that's the problem. People are not reading the legitimate research that's out there that's been published by... not just people working in laboratories, but, corroborating it with what's being seen clinically by clinicians. Does it match up? And we have the tools, the molecular tools, to be able to analyze proteins and make predictions about how they might behave in the body. And that's largely how we know what we know. Right. About this spike protein and what its potential is, potential for damage.
All right. So for those of you out there who are diehard graphene oxide devotees, that's fine. Have a break a leg. Have a good time. It's not science. Here it is again, verbatim, is graphene magnetic in the body? Graphene, one of the world's strongest materials, is not normally magnetic. It can be made magnetic, but that's not the point here. All right. Enough of that. What else is going on in the world of social media stupidity?
Oh, I don't know. I don't pay a lot of attention to those narratives much anymore. It's tragic, that this far into it, that...
Well, what's really crazy is,
the issue.
And I see this, is that sometimes we'll, and I'm not saying there's a direct correlation, but there may be, we give out real good information, we explain things simply so people can grasp it for the most part and invite them to do their own further inquiry. It's real simple. The Internet is good for some things, but not many, but some. Research is one of them. And then you'll see people on various social media platforms basically ignoring what we have said in almost entirely and gravitating toward idiocy, silliness, stuff that has no basis in science. It doesn't. But that's the masses. That's what's wrong with people. That's why they're going to end up getting rid of 4 or 5 billion people. They're useless eaters now. AI is taking over. Their jobs are gone. Nobody can buy homes anymore to speak of. So these people have now become extraneous to the process of organized civilization. That's how the controllers look at it. And they will react accordingly. Count on it. All right.
Well, I it's interesting that the people that have subscribed to this graphene narrative virtually deny the existence of the virus or the protein, this spike protein, which is in many cases lethal if you get enough of it.
Yes.
And yet there's no evidence to support the graphene narrative. I mean, we talked about it last program where the researcher that did the analysis with his Raman spectroscopy burnt his sample. Now, of course, when you burn a sample, you're going to get carbon.
Yeah.
And graphene is an allotrope of carbon. Allotrope is a distinct molecular arrangement of carbon. And no other lab has been able to detect any graphene in these samples. They can look at things under a microscope and think that that's what they're seeing, but that's not enough. When you're dealing with nanomaterials, you have to use multiple different assays and analyses to determine, number one, the element that you're dealing with, and how to confirm its molecular arrangement.
Right.
And I gave you a list the other night, 10 different assays. They've only used Raman spectroscopy, it failed, and a microscope. And maybe a TEM. People are seeing, they're using, light microscopes and in some cases dark field microscopes, and frankly don't know what they're looking at.
They're leaping
cholesterol crystals, salt crystals.
They're naming things.
The blood is very deranged. And I can go back 10 years and pull a video, a dark field video of somebody with Lyme disease, and it looks actually quite similar to some of the stuff they're seeing right now.
Right, it looks like there's a spider web lattice kind of a thing in some places.
Yeah, there are very obvious biofilms.
Yes.
They're moving, cocci types of bacteria. It's
don't
unhealthy blood, there's no question.
The glowing nanobots, remember those? The
quantum dots and
they're glowing. But they're just reflecting light. You have to illuminate the field that you're looking at, and naturally there's going to be some kind of reflection.
Right.
And this is all findable. If you just look, you can look back 10, 15 years and find the same stuff that they're talking about now. Not all of it. There are new things, horrible things in the blood. The blood's being destroyed. Life is being destroyed. And that's a fact. So,
it is. And, these latent viruses and bacteria that have now been awakened thanks to the compromised immune system and the dysregulation of iron, it's serious. But I can't tell you the hysteria that I'm seeing right now with vax-injured people seeing these images and being told that they have nanobots coursing through their bloodstream,
How is this being determined? They're using what kind of a microscope to? There's a nanobot. There's a self-assembling nano whatever. They can't. Whoops. To say it again. They cannot see it.
They don't
have the technology. You can't see it with a light microscope. You can't see it with a dark field microscope. You cannot see nano. Period.
No.
So these people who use the terms, they've got followers, and that's kind of discouraging sometimes to
it's been set up like that, though. These injured people are not getting treatment through the normal avenues that they should be able to get treatment, and so they resort to this.
Right. Exactly right. Yeah.
And, there are qualified clinicians out there that have dealt with complex chronic illness in its many facets, whether it's Lyme disease, environmental toxicity, chronic fatigue, and they're well-versed on this subject matter. And I wish people would just seek them out, that they are out there. What you're being offered in the alternative news is really the bottom of the barrel, I would say. In many cases,
many of the people who are at the so-called top tier of information and science in the alt news world are at the bottom of the barrel. They're just garbage people spewing garbage narratives. That's what they do.
No, you know, and
they're getting paid. They're making lots of money. Go ahead.
They're making lots of money, and I, in some cases, I question whether their remedies are you know, harming people.
Certainly a possibility. Has not been adequately discounted, in my view, at all. We don't know. So it's like CDS. You might as well drink bleach. Good luck.
Yeah, it's a very, very potent oxidizer, and when you're dealing with a situation where your antioxidant enzymes, your innate enzymes, have been depleted, yeah. You don't have redox power, meaning the ability to move electrons around the way they should, and you're depleted of the nutrients that can help your body regenerate those antioxidants, that's a disaster.
That's exactly right.
Not to mention the effect on the microbiome. I told you today there was a study that just came out showing that there are two species of beneficial bacteria that protect 100% against infection by SARS-CoV-2 by stimulating CD8 T cells. And if you're drinking CDS, you're wiping out your bacteria, your good bacteria, bad bacteria. You know, those
light
beneficial bacteria are obligate anaerobes. They don't like oxygen.
Yeah, you just burn them up. Good luck. Dr. William Mackus is putting out, I guess, 50, are these dailies, 15-minute little segment with Dr. Mackus, or is it?
I think he's doing them a couple times a week at least.
That's good. That's plenty.
15 minutes with Dr. Mackus?
Yeah, he did one. This is really important. For those of you out there who have cancer and who are fighting it, there is some discussion now, and I think most of you have heard it, that there was the old-style traditional cancer, and now there is the new-style turbo cancer. And they have definite differences, apparently. We can't quantify that for you yet, but certainly the general information that we're getting, even though it's not hard science, is strongly suggestive that there is something different about this turbo cancer that shows up overnight, practically, as stage 4. That's just not how cancer traditionally acts. It's different. So Dr. Mackus is saying that in Canadian emergency rooms, ERs, they are literally, I'll let him do this. He's a radiologist and an oncologist who did a lot of work and has paid a big price for standing on the truth. And he is not moving. He's quite an inspirational fellow. All right, here's Dr. William Mackus. Anything you want to add to this?
No. Let it roll.
Okay, here we go.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of 15 Minutes with Dr. Mackus, my new hard-hitting medical podcast. Canadian physicians did really badly during the COVID-19 pandemic. In fact, most Canadian physicians, I would say, were some of the most incompetent doctors in the world. They didn't offer any early treatments. They put patients on remdesivir or other lethal hospital protocols. When the jabs were rolled out, they pushed the jabs on absolutely everybody, regardless of risk or regardless of medical history. They pushed COVID vaccines on pregnant women, on children, on babies as young as 6 months old. In fact, there were doctors that were injecting children whose age group hadn't even been approved yet by the corrupt people at Health Canada, and they were injecting younger and younger children of an inappropriate age with experimental vaccines that we now know are contaminated with billions, if not trillions, of particles of DNA plasmids and DNA fragments that are wreaking havoc clinically.
It's up to 400 billion pieces of DNA in every injection. That's what it was, and it probably still is the same way. They did try, when they were caught, to pass that off as some kind of contaminant in the manufacturing process. Bull crap. We don't even know what those 400 billion pieces of DNA are there for to do. They're there for a reason, though. So good for Dr. Mackus. And these doctors, they're murderers. They are mass murderers. They're killers. They've committed infanticide. They are the worst, and he is not happy with them. And carry on, Dr. Mackus. Here we go.
So Canadian doctors, by and large, were some of the most incompetent doctors in the world. The only other country that I think comes close is Australia in terms of incompetence. Now, when it comes to Canadian healthcare leaders, I would say that Canadian healthcare leaders are some of the most corrupt and unethical doctors in the world. They engaged in all manner of crimes. They supported illegal vaccine mandates in healthcare, which not only destroyed our healthcare system, but destroyed the lives of thousands, if not tens of thousands, of healthcare workers across Canada. In fact, the Canadian Medical Association to this day is covering up the sudden deaths of Canadian doctors since the rollout of the COVID-19 vaccines, including the four letters that I sent them, and evidence of Canadian doctors' sudden deaths, over 200 Canadian doctors dying suddenly or unexpectedly since the rollout of the vaccines, and a 53% increase in excess mortality in jabbed Canadian doctors. They're covering this all up for that sweet, sweet Pfizer ad money, that the big Pfizer ads that they run in their monthly journal. In this episode, I wanted to put a spotlight on one such corrupt and unethical healthcare leader, and this is Dr. Paul Parks in Alberta. He is the president of the Alberta Medical Association. So I just talked about the Canadian Medical Association, that's for all of Canada, and Dr. Parks is the president of the Alberta Medical Association, that's the Alberta branch of the Canadian Medical Association. So let's have a look at Dr. Parks and what he has been talking about recently. This is Dr. Paul Parks. He is an emergency physician in Medicine Hat, a small town in Alberta, and he is the current president of the Alberta Medical Association for 2023-24. He has a long history with the Alberta Medical Association. He joined in 2001, and he has spent over 15 years actively involved in various committees. You can see them listed here on the AMA website, including a college executive. This is a career bureaucrat, which again would be fine if he was an honest bureaucrat, but he's not. He's extremely dishonest, he's extremely corrupt, and he is extremely unethical. And I will show you all of that just by going through his Twitter timeline over the past month or two, because it shows you exactly what this person is all about. Here is his Twitter account, at PF Parks. He describes himself as an emergency physician, but again, someone who is virtue signaling pronouns. This is a huge red flag. This is a leftist, as almost all bureaucrats, healthcare bureaucrats in Alberta are. So we kind of know what to expect here. And the very first post on his Twitter timeline is a post from earlier today. And it's a Toronto Star story about cancer patients showing up in emergency rooms. In fact, what's happening is emergency rooms across Canada are being flooded with cancer patients. And we know who these are. These are COVID-19 vaccinated people who have developed turbo cancer. So here's the Toronto Star article that was published earlier today. Patients are routinely being diagnosed with cancer in busy Canadian emergency rooms, doctors warn. The emergency department is a terrible place to receive this type of diagnosis, said Dr. Grewal. And that's absolutely true. That is a terrible place to receive a diagnosis of cancer. It's not just a local issue, said Dr. Grewal, an emergency medicine physician at Mount Sinai Hospital. My colleagues across Canada are seeing this as well. So this is happening across Canada. And I can tell you there's been an explosion of cancers in the COVID-19 vaccinated. These cancers are extremely aggressive. They behave very differently. They're presenting at stage four. They grow very rapidly. They're very aggressively metastatic. They don't respond to conventional chemo or radiation treatments, and they have an extremely poor prognosis. The top five turbo cancers showing up in the COVID vaccinated are lymphoma, glioblastoma, breast cancer, lung cancer, and colon cancer. Now, here's the fascinating part about this. So this is a mainstream media reporting that emergency rooms across Canada are flooded with cancer patients. And what does Dr. Park say? He actually admits it. He says, can confirm this. My colleagues and I are diagnosing more and more advanced cancers in the emergency department. Exactly what I just said. These cancers are presenting at stage four. Advanced cancer usually means stage three or stage four. So he admits that he's seeing it, but he will not look into why. He is baffled. This is where I say doctors are baffled, and he is one of these baffled doctors. Now, if you go lower down in his Twitter timeline, he actually reposts a disgusting post by Dr. John Meddings. And who's Dr. John Meddings? This is absolutely fascinating. He's the former dean of medicine at University of Calgary. So he's the past dean of the Faculty of Medicine called the Cumming School of Medicine at University of Calgary. Another bureaucratic position, and this is another corrupt bureaucrat. And this is what Dr. John Meddings said on April 10th, 2024. It is really quite pathetic that this even has to be said, but there we are. And what is he talking about? Turbo cancer is not a real thing. These vaccines were incredibly well studied.
You heard that right. Turbo cancer is not a real thing. Okay.
Phase 1, 2, and 3 trials. No cancers. And now in phase 4 observational studies of billions. Nope. No cancers. This is the level of discourse of a corrupt bureaucrat who is lying publicly. And he's actually quoting a post by Science Up First. Science Up First is a fraudulent organization created by Timothy Caulfield, a Trudeau Foundation fellow who is a lawyer at the University of Alberta Faculty of Law. And he's received millions of dollars from the federal government to push mRNA vaccines. And so he's quoting this fraudulent organization whose only objective is to lie to Canadians and attack physicians who are raising concerns about COVID-19 vaccines. So Dr. Parks, right here, with this post, you can see that Dr. Parks is grossly incompetent, but also corrupt. Let's look at another post.
Let me just say something. I've heard a lot of people talk in the last 4 years, but nobody with more forthright integrity and courage than Dr. William Mackis. Nobody with any more. He's right on the edge. He's inviting a lawsuit. He wants this, I think, to go to court. He'll prove it. That's his position. But this is really extraordinary to see somebody standing up and naming names like this. It's very encouraging to see this kind of heroic behavior.
Dr. Parks reposted this yesterday. Now, this is a post from Dr. Darren Markland, another famous Edmonton doctor. And Dr. Markland is an intensive care doctor at the Royal Alexandra Hospital. He's an ICU doctor who has been putting hundreds, if not thousands, of Albertans on remdesivir and other lethal drugs.
That's called murder, and they're still doing it, as I think most of you realize if you've been listening. They're still using remdesivir right here in the U.S., formerly U.S. It's incredible. Mass murder, along with highest treason, has been completely normalized.
Yeah.
In fact, I would love to know how many patients have died under Dr. Darren Markland's care in the past 4 years in the ICU, because this doctor absolutely loves remdesivir and ventilators for COVID-19 patients. Here's what he said. Now, he's reposting a CBC article that was about a live event that I will be speaking at in June, a live United Conservative Party event that I will be speaking at which is going to review the childhood vaccination schedule in Alberta and the placement of COVID-19 vaccines on that vaccination schedule for babies as young as 6 months old. That is something that everyone should be interested in. Every physician in Alberta should be interested in that. But this guy, this is what he has to say. Setting public health policy by recruiting discredited and unlicensed doctors who cater to the UCP's anti-science agenda is dangerous. These actions have led to the resurgence of measles and whooping cough and the deadliest flu season in 15 years. This is defamation. And let me be clear, this is outright defamation. Because now when he says unlicensed, he's talking about me. He's talking about Dr. Mark Trozzi. He's going to be speaking at the event. He's talking about Dr. Chris Shoemaker. So two Ontario doctors whose licenses were illegally sabotaged by the CPSO, the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario. But he's also talking about Dr. Byron Bridle, PhD. He's talking about Dr. Jessica Rose, PhD. He's talking about Dr. David Wiseman. And he's also talking about Dr. Eric Payne. Now, Dr. Eric Payne is still licensed. He's a pediatric neurologist in Calgary who's still licensed and practicing, but who actually filed a lawsuit against Alberta Health Services because of its illegal COVID vaccine mandate.
All right, I'm going to pause it there. It'll be under our names and guests, if not now, in just a little bit. And you urge to go listen to the entire 15 minutes. That's about almost 10 of it. But you get the idea, and that is bald-faced defamation. He's right. There's no question about it. This Dr. Parks, his handle under his, I guess it's, what is it, Facebook, whatever he's in. He goes by
Twitter.
The name Parksy. Parksy. Isn't that cute? Look, this is life and death. This is, these people who are in this line of this modality of treatment protocols, all of them, have a trail of cadavers, corpses, and dead bodies, dead children behind them that is probably out of visual sight by now. Remdesivir, vents, many other protocols that are completely, totally unneeded, unnecessary, and out of line. And Erica and I know someone who was put in the hospital, given remdesivir, and murdered. It's true. And we don't even have a guess at how many. Probably millions.
Oh, yeah.
Here in North America, without any doubt. Anyhow, bravo to Dr. William Makis, M-A-K-I-S, if you're new to the program. And we urge you to go ahead and listen to the whole thing. We got most of the, I think, sizzling parts in there. But he's standing up. He's saying, you know, to hell with you people. You're punishing me already, you and the professional ethical, allegedly, branch of medicine in Canada. All right, here's my view on it. You want to defame me, you're going to get it right back. That's the only way to treat these people. So good job, Dr. Makis.
Yeah, that's excellent.
Okay, all right, we're going to jump over to our human files now in the COVID Chronicles. Let's see what Miss Erica has concocted for tonight. We did fall out from spouse. That was disgusting last time.
Yeah, that's very unfortunate.
Awful. You know, when your spouse cheats on you, well, you connect the dots. And they don't have to be quantum dots either. Just connect the dots. all right. Hey, we've got some ALS. We haven't done ALS in a little while. You want to start with that? Or let's go away. We'll go to turbo cancer. That's a two pieces.
Yeah, that was
a
new one today.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
All right. Go ahead. Take the first one or the second one. What do you want to do? You choose.
It's basically the same incident.
Okay. All right.
This is a mother who came into the group today describing what's happening with her son. She says, "Hi, my 21-year-old, non-smoking, non-drinking son has been diagnosed with adenocarcinoma stage 4 lung cancer."
See, I don't want to sound pedantic about this, but this cancer is acting differently It just is. It's not like the old style. When I was a kid, when many of you were kids, people got cancer when they're 50, 60, and it was, you could usually deal with it. You could hold it at bay, even with that horrible cut, slash, and burn protocol they had. Not now. Go ahead, sorry.
I am beside myself. I'm just looking everywhere for help and information. If anyone can help with information, I'd be grateful. And also, what is the youngest person in here to suffer from this vax? Yes, he had one jab. He was fit and fine before all this. I'm just heartbroken. And she continues, we don't want sympathy or to be bombarded. We're just putting it here as trying to explain it over and over again to people is heartbreaking. My son has had a bad chest for a few months and kept getting fobbed off as chest infection and pneumonia.
Uh-huh.
On Friday, he went for some results, and it turns out he has stage 4 lung cancer. I went straight away to bring him home, but we're going back on Monday to carry on with appointments Tuesday, etc. My head and my heart are going to explode. We're trying to stay as positive as we can, but as you can imagine, it's a lot to deal with, as he doesn't smoke, and he doesn't drink, and he doesn't do drugs.
Horrible. Horrible to hear.
He's a good lad. Why my boy? Why? He still wants to do his exams next week, bless him. Try to give him something to concentrate on. And also, my baby boy starts his exams next week, too. He's been so amazing. I'm so proud of him. And he also wants to finish next year at the university. So we will be back and forth every opportunity I can. So if anyone has any land nearby where we could camp or anything, please keep me in mind. I'm praying for a better outcome. We will fight this, I promise. I have you every step of the way. I will give you everything. I promise you that. I wish I never smoked because I would give you mine.
Well, I don't know. This whole thing of watching your children die before you do, it's an old cliche, but that is devastating.
No, out of nowhere, you know, just...
Out of nowhere. We've heard this so often. All right, here's an ALS. Go up. We got three at the top here.
Okay. Let's
start at the top. All right, when ALS, MS, and TM is Lyme. Okay, so I'm going to just throw everything out there, and hopefully somebody can point me in a right direction, or at least relate to me. In March 2023, I noticed the lymph nodes in my neck were swollen. I had a biopsy done, and it was benign. In August 2023... I woke up dizzy, itchy, and extremely fatigued to the point I could barely get my two boys ready for the day. But then it subsided. I also had a root canal done, whoops, later in the month. Not a good thing to do, friends. Don't do root canals. In September 2023, boy oh boy, I noticed I had a pain in my chest cavity that comes and goes. The back of my neck felt tight, but I could still move it. I had random pains throughout my body, dizziness, feeling off balance, seeing something that wasn't there. My sense of taste went away and then came back, tingling down my spine that lasted for a week and then went away. Having a floating sensation in my arms, felt like someone gave me anesthesia. Also, brain fog and not being as sharp as usual. Like I had to quit my remote position because I wasn't absorbing the information. Also, terrible burning headaches where I felt like my brain was on fire. October 2023. So we went again from August to September. Now we're in October. I'm still dealing with all the symptoms, plus my fingers all of a sudden got stiffer to the point I couldn't type proficiently anymore. Had a brain MRI and it was clear. The only thing that showed up was a 4-millimeter
Chiari
malformation, and muscle twitching began as well. October, now to December, 2023. I had an EMG that came back clean You see, all these tests, well, nothing there, nothing there. Fast forward to today, I have finger stiffness still, burning headaches, a burning sensation in my chest, my arms, my legs, and hands have strength, but they tire out. I have a weak sensation that comes and goes throughout my entire body. Sometimes my muscles feel heavy, and I have muscle flutters. I did a sleep study, and I have mild sleep apnea. I have seen two neurologists, and they don't believe it's neurological. I've seen a rheumatologist, and he is leaning toward idiopathic myopathy. But the ANA tests are negative. If anybody has any suggestions, feel free to let me know. Thank you for your time. So no firm diagnosis of ALS, but
no.
Overlapping symptoms from MS, Lyme, etc.
Well, you know, what she doesn't state here is, well, how many shots did you have?
Never a word.
You know,
and
it's,
damn doctors,
you know, some of these groups, you're allowed to talk about it in code.
Yeah.
But most of them, you know, if you bring it up, no, we can't talk
well,
about it.
Transfer of wealth. These tests are not cheap, and they all come back basically negative. Go ahead with the next one. There's two more there. It's not the same thread, but it's the same topic.
Yeah. Okay. Hello, everyone. My mom was diagnosed in February with limb-onset ALS. Currently, her legs don't work at all, so she needs to be transferred out of her bed to a wheelchair using a house lift. Her arms have begun to get weaker, especially the one, and she's starting to have more difficulty coughing. She wants to avoid the suffering in later stages of the disease and is choosing medical assistance in dying within, she thinks, the next 2 months. Has anyone else had the experience of supporting a PALS, that's patient with ALS, through this process? We are in Canada. It's legal here, and there's a system set up that she's already approved in. What were your experiences like? It's hard to know that the reason for her death won't ultimately be the disease, but will it be her own decision that she's just suffering so much that it's time to go? I feel like I put a bit of extra effort to make each day fun or joyful in a way, partly because I just want her to feel good, but also unconsciously that maybe if I can help her enjoy what remains of her life, she will delay doing MAID. Does or has anyone else struggled with these issues? What did you do with your final few pre-MAID weeks to get the most out of that time together?
MAID is medical-assisted suicide.
Yeah.
All right. Comment to that. Your mom's fast trajectory has been similar to my PALS, except breathing was right after the legs. MAID is not available where we live. When my person mentioned at the very beginning, I was horrified, but now I understand. They are suffering and already on hospice. They don't want to lose all of their functions. They still have really good speech and can eat and feed themselves and use their hands and arms, although they're weak. But before dying, which is what they know is coming anyway, I very much see myself as the person who brings joy, and I know it helps, but going from someone who was in perfect health and very independent to this in such a short period of time with no hope of getting better and knowing what the next steps will be, I completely understand her desire to skip those steps and just check out, as she puts it. I think someone here once described MAID as having a really good night and then going out on a cloud. It's painful that my person can't have this. It feels really unfair that we understand providing this to our pets is a kindness, but force people, humans, to suffer through it. I hate that we're in this club at all, and I'm always hoping for some miracles. Many of our people still have their minds, and we should respect their desires as much as possible. Go ahead.
Anyhow, as far as what to do to bring joy, I have stories about my kids, art from them. I give gentle massages, make jokes, initiate strolls around the neighborhood or to a museum or something, bring new foods, which are less enjoyable and effective these days, and I'm generally in a good but not insensitively good mood, and I'm totally patient about everything. I tell my person they're important, that they do it all this for, that they do all this for me. I agree that it's a nightmare and makes no sense, that none of the things I'm doing for them are yet as embarrassing as the things they've done for me, etc. I just try to make them laugh and keep it light. And someone else says, thanks for your post, as it's a very important topic, and I know how hard it was for you to post that. I am starting the MAID process, I am Canadian, with my doctor at the next appointment. It is the right decision for me, as it will return to me some control over this disease that has taken much from me.
Last I heard, there were 39 Canadians a day checking out via the MAID program. 39 a day.
Well, and, you know, you can't help but think, would they be making that decision?
Of course.
If they hadn't had or been duped into taking an experimental injection.
Correct. Well, it's a deployed bioweapon, but they call it many things like that.
Yeah.
Here's another shorty. Mom might have CJD. My mom has been having neurological issues for about 8 months now. She has really bad anxiety, memory loss, has a hard time speaking, really bad confusion. When we first saw the psychiatrist at the end of February, she thought it was vascular dementia. The last few weeks, my mom has declined really badly, and now she's thinking it could be something else. She consulted with a psychiatrist that specializes in dementia and geriatric care, and they both agree that it's not normal for someone my mom's age, she's only 53, to have dementia this severe. This is a young person.
Yeah.
Should be. They're concerned she might have CJD, but it's taking so long to get to a neurologist. Anyone having any advice, things I should know or look out for or anything like that? All right, well, there's a standalone another one. Let's go. I'm curious about this next one. Post-vax brain aging. Start that one.
Okay, this person had one J&J, April 2021. Has anyone had a normal MRI followed by an MRI with hyperintensities? I had an MRI / venogram within days of the vax due to intense head pain and pressure. All normal. Headaches continued nonstop, so they did an MRI 2 months after the first. Again, completely normal, to the point that the neurologist said that he rarely sees such a clean MRI in someone my age. I was 49 at the time. Headaches thankfully stopped for almost 2 years, but now have returned. So they ordered another MRI. Have mostly had cardiovascular issues throughout my vaccine injury journey. Yesterday's MRI showed 3 to 4 punctate foci of T2 flare hyperintensities in the supratentorial white matter. Also said that I had prominent perivascular space. Doctor just said that this is an essentially normal MRI for my age. When I read about it, there are several mentions of small vessel disease and endothelial damage showing as hyperintensities, but typically in people 65 and older. I'm 52. Has anyone else had these findings? What did your doctors say? Just want some advice on what may have helped you. I'm tired of doctors just telling me to go about as if nothing is wrong. I'm clearly having ongoing symptoms, and changes are now evident in imaging, but it's just my age.
All right, here's a comment to that. I'm 47 and also have these same findings. I've been to 5 different neuros, and they all say they see it all the time. Oh, how nice. I don't have a prior MRI for comparison, so I don't know when it happened. I do know I'm scared, and I worry about it nonstop. I don't have a life anymore. Someone writes back to that person, I'm sorry, this is all so infuriating and scary, and to be brushed off as if there's nothing wrong is insulting. I realize there may be nothing that we can do about the damage that has occurred, but what about the future? I do all the right things. I eat right. I try to exercise, which is harder since, you know, I'm in heart failure because of the jab. And so comment back to that, oh my God, you were also diagnosed with heart failure, and that came from the first person.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's see, the relapse here, we could squeeze that one in.
Go ahead.
This is myocarditis, pericarditis after COVID vaccine. I have unfortunately relapsed after making a full recovery. My symptoms started in September 2022 in a severe state, and I started making small improvements after 7 months until making a full recovery by month 10. I started working again full-time and rebuilding everything that I had lost. Back in March, I had a mild cold but tested negative for COVID, although everyone had it at my job that week, so maybe it was a false negative. Mm-hmm. And soon after, I had a very stressful life event I had to deal with. Things slowly started going downhill after that week, and every week since, I've been doing a little worse. I'm basically working through all the symptoms now and pushing through, but if it gets any worse, I will have to quit my job. Has anyone recovered and then had a setback like this? It's super demoralizing to relapse after rebuilding everything that had been lost. This battle just never ends.
No, it doesn't, and I would only say in this particular case, it's possible that she, I think it's she, didn't fully recover. The symptoms abated, but the base cause was still at work.
This is a guy. But, you know, we have to take into account the shedding that's out there.
That's a given. That's the first thing that should be mentioned in a case like this. Everybody else at the office had COVID except this guy. COVID test was negative. Well, we know about these tests. So, yes,
yeah.
Good point. Very good point. And here's another one. We need to duck this in real quick. The avian influenza, disease X, the new pandemic, bird flu, 25% case fatality rate is being talked about more and more. Will they turn that loose on us? I don't know. We'll have to wait and find out. But just keep in mind that they have all the advantage. We're sitting here on the other side waiting for them to plot their next course move and do whatever it is they're going to do. But the avian influenza has apparently been tweaked several years ago. It is now weaponized, and it's worse. It should not be in people. So we will see. We're watching that very carefully for you. They're going to make this the next 6 months hell on wheels here. I'm sure of it. Six, eight months.
The second half of this year they'll pull these things out of their bag of tricks. And
I completely agree.
Let the chips fall where they may. It's any number of scenarios.
Yeah. So that's the next one that appears to be being lined up for dispersal on us. So
maybe.
Get ready.
Or don't forget, we have Ebola there too. The all those healthcare workers in Colorado that received a vaccine.
Yep.
For Ebola.
Yep. We shall see. All right. Good job. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
Okay. Be right back with more, dear friends. Stay right there.